Good morning. It's April 4th, and this is your daily brief in UK news. Here's everything you need to know. In the heart of one of the world's most vibrant cities, a surprising trend emerges as the demand for luxury homes in London dips in the first quarter of the year. This downturn marks a significant shift in the city's high-end real estate market, reflecting broader economic and regulatory changes on the horizon. According to a recent report from Benham and Reeves, the allure of London's prime and super-prime homes appears to be waning, with fewer than 20% of properties listed in these categories securing buyers. This decline in buyer interest is notable against the backdrop of London's traditionally robust luxury housing market. The impending removal of non-DOM status, a tax law change set for April next year, looms large over the market, with expectations that it will further suppress demand for high-end homes. The slump isn't confined to sales alone. The prime rental sector is also feeling the pinch. Inquiries for prime rentals have fallen by 4% to 8%, indicating a broader disinterest in luxury accommodations. This downturn has contributed to an overall 1.7% drop in demand across London's prime market in the first quarter of this year, with a year-on-year decline of 1.8%. Meanwhile, the super prime segment has remained relatively stable quarter over quarter, but has experienced a notable 5.5% annual decrease in buyer demand. This shift in the luxury housing market in London suggests a recalibration of value and interest, influenced by regulatory changes and perhaps broader economic conditions. The coming months will likely reveal the full impact of these trends, especially as the removal of non-DOM status approaches, potentially reshaping the landscape of London's luxury real estate market. In a stunning financial turnaround, Brighton Football Club has announced a post-tax profit of £122.8 million for the 2022-23 season, leaping from the previous year's £24.1 million. This financial windfall is directly tied to their impressive on-field performance, which saw them finish sixth in the Premier League and make an FA Cup semi-final appearance, alongside strategic player sales and compensation deals. The club's remarkable profit increase includes earnings from player transfers and compensation for their former head coach's move to Chelsea. Notably, the financial statements do not account for the post-reporting period sales of Moises Caicedo and Robert Sanchez to Chelsea, transactions reportedly worth up to $146 million and $32 million, respectively. The profit was significantly bolstered by the sales of key players such as Alexis McAllister, Yves Bissouma and Mark Cucurella, in addition to compensation for former manager Graham Potter. Despite this financial and on-field success, the future of manager Roberto De Zerbi is shrouded in speculation, with his contract set to expire in 2026 and rumours linking him to high-profile coaching vacancies at Bayern Munich, Barcelona and Liverpool. The club has expressed its intention to continue investing in the squad to maintain their progress, with ambitions to secure a place in European competition and clinch their first major trophy. Currently, Brighton stands ninth in the Premier League, with 9 games remaining in the season, demonstrating a blend of ambition and pragmatism as they navigate the remainder of the season. In a move that underscores the urgent challenges posed by climate change, Network Rail has announced a significant investment to protect the UK's rail network from the devastating effects of extreme weather. With a £2.8 billion allocation over the next 5 years dedicated to bolstering resilience, the strategy is a clear response to the increasing threats of climate-induced disruptions. Network Rail's commitment to safeguarding the UK's rail infrastructure against climate change includes a comprehensive plan that spans beyond immediate weatherproofing measures. The £2.8 billion fund is earmarked for a variety of initiatives aimed at enhancing the network's resilience. These measures include the recruitment of additional staff, the installation of CCTV in areas prone to flooding, and other critical steps to improve the system's robustness against extreme weather events. But this is just a part of a broader investment strategy. Network Rail plans to invest a total of £45.4 billion over the next 5 years, focusing on replacing outdated assets and introducing digital signalling to modernise the rail system. This substantial investment will be supported primarily through grants from the national and Scottish governments, illustrating a strong commitment to the future of UK rail. The CEO of Network Rail has emphasised the importance of these investments, not just for combating the impacts of climate change, but also for ensuring the continued safety and reliability of train services. This comes in the wake of severe disruptions caused by collapsed embankments on various routes, highlighting the critical need for increased preparedness and mitigation efforts against extreme weather. With these investments, Network Rail is taking a proactive stance to address the challenges posed by climate change, aiming to ensure that the UK's rail network remains safe, reliable, and resilient in the face of increasing environmental uncertainties. In a shocking incident that has sparked widespread concern, a video surfaced online showing a toddler in Ayrshire, Scotland, engaging in an act that's as dangerous as it is unthinkable – vaping. This distressing footage, capturing a child believed to be between 1 and 2 years old, inhaling from a pink vape and coughing after exhaling, has led to criminal charges against two 19-year-old women. The incident has drawn sharp criticism from local politician Siobhan Brown, who voiced her alarm over the potential harm e-cigarettes can inflict on the developing lungs of children. This episode not only highlights the immediate dangers, but also casts a shadow on the broader issue of vaping among minors. In a decisive move to combat this growing concern, the Scottish Government has announced plans to ban disposable vapes next year, underlining the risks they pose, particularly to young individuals. Health experts have long warned about the detrimental effects of nicotine on the developing brain and overall well-being of minors. The incident in Ayrshire brings these warnings into stark relief, demonstrating the real-world consequences of nicotine exposure in young children. Fortunately, Police Scotland has reported that the child involved in this incident is safe and well. However, the episode has undeniably heightened awareness about the potential hazards of vaping, especially around young, developing lungs. As this story unfolds, it serves as a critical reminder of the importance of safeguarding children from the dangers of nicotine and the urgent need for regulatory measures to prevent such incidents in the future. In the wake of an Israeli airstrike that claimed the lives of 7 aid workers, including 3 British citizens, Britain's political landscape is witnessing a significant push for transparency and accountability. This tragic event has not only escalated tensions between the UK and Israel, but has also ignited a fervent debate on the ethics of arms sales in conflict zones. Britain's main opposition parties, spearheaded by Labour, the Liberal Democrats, and the Scottish National Party, are challenging the Conservative government to disclose legal advice regarding Israel's compliance with international humanitarian law amidst the ongoing conflict in Gaza. This collective call to action underscores a growing concern over the potential violation of international norms and the implications for UK-Israel relations. The opposition's demand is clear: halt arms sales to Israel if the legal advice indicates a breach of international law. David Lammy, the Labour Party's foreign affairs spokesman, is at the forefront of this campaign, urging the government to take immediate action based on the legal findings. This stance is echoed by London Mayor Sadiq Khan and further amplifies the call for a re-evaluation of the UK's arms export policies. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, while acknowledging Israel's duty to adhere to international humanitarian law, has remained non-committal about releasing the sought-after legal advice. This cautious approach reflects the complexity of balancing diplomatic relations with Israel and upholding international legal standards. As the debate intensifies, the focus shifts to the broader implications of this controversy on UK foreign policy and its commitment to international law. The opposition's unified stance signals a critical moment for the Conservative government, challenging it to reassess its position on arms sales and its role on the global stage in promoting peace and justice. This has been your daily brief in UK news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.